In less than 24 hours, Ghana will go to the polls to elect a president and 275 members of parliament. Hello, welcome to Joy News Today. I am Emefa Akosia Adeti. The news is live from our studios here in Kokumlemle, Accra, and also live on DSTV channel 421 and GoTV channel 125. Here is what to look out for. Electoral Commission ready for Saturday's elections as it assures Ghanaians of credible polls. Also, many travel to their respective constituencies to cast their votes. We'll hear from our correspondents. We've got these plus business, sports and showbiz in this package. Please stay for details. The Electoral Commission says it is ready for Saturday's polls with less than 24 hours to the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections. Many have asked if the EC is ready nationwide. We've been speaking to electoral officers from the northeast and northern region.
Electoral Commission as institution in Ho and the northeast region is ready to conduct tomorrow's election. In election administration and management, when we say we are ready, it means we have deployed all the essential materials to the various constituencies in the region. All the registers, every single material that is needed to conduct the poll tomorrow is ready.
They have all visited the polling stations to see and arrange the setting up of the polling stations. When they get the material, they should get there before 6 so that they're able to set up the center and do the necessary early filling of the statement of the poll before polling start at 7. We are expecting 1,209,940 voters that will be voting at 2,445 polling centers in the northern region.
Coordinator for the West African Network for Peace Building, Albert Yeleyang, is asking security agencies in the electoral process to ensure a robust command and control structure to maintain law and order during the polls. He spoke on News Desk earlier.
Deployed across board, and we've been monitoring that. We've seen them moving and locating and being allocated to certain constituencies and regions. And the public is very much aware of that. We hope that they will be able to ensure a securitized electoral environment. There has been a lot of conversations around that from several stakeholders, civil society, National Peace Council, and the state security apparatuses and ministers, especially coming from the 2020 elections within the Fourth Republic, where we had some deaths occurring. There has been concern. How would it look like for this year? We are happy that the military, for instance, is indicative that indicating that they are not going to be part directly on the elections until it's necessary. And we hope that the security led by the police, who are providing election security.
Now, the National Peace Council has called for collective responsibility in ensuring peaceful elections. The council is asking voters, political parties, electoral officials and security agencies to preserve Ghana's reputation as a beacon of peace in Africa. The NPC has highlighted the importance of unity, tolerance and vigilance, cautioning against actions that could jeopardize the country's stability.
The key mandate of the National Peace Council is to facilitate and develop mechanisms for conflict prevention, conflict management, and conflict resolution.
Yes, I guess the things that worry us, or I worry us a lot, this considering this election year, one of them is the polarization between political parties. I mean, if I'm from Party A, another is from Party B. We seem to.
Now, the Ghana Police has commended supporters of the NPP and NDC for comporting themselves before, during and after their respective rallies. Here are extras from their statements. We'll read to you from the screen now. Now, the Ghana Police Service wishes to commend the New Patriotic Party, the National Democratic Congress and their supporters for their cooperation before and during the event, which led to the peaceful and successful conclusion of their final rallies in Accra yesterday, 5th December 2024. Also, the police also expressed gratitude to the general public, particularly the motoring public, for their cooperation, patience and understanding during the road diversions and blockades implemented to manage traffic for the two special events. We urge the political parties, their supporters and all stakeholders to maintain the same level of discipline, unity and patriotism for our beloved country, Ghana, for a peaceful election. And that'll be the end of the statement from the Ghana Police. Also, some students are weighing in on the educational policies of the NDC and NPP. They are divided on their potential impact, questioning whether these promises will translate into tangible benefits on the ground.
Some prospective university students, most of them first-time voters, say their choice in the voting booth tomorrow will be hinged on the educational policy the political parties outlined in their manifestos, and not only these promises.
As you are also aware, I have proposed and will champion the establishment of pathways to ensure free tertiary education for persons with disabilities.
We'll also launch the No Fee Stress Initiative, providing fee-paying support to eligible students, especially through the Student Loan Trust Fund.
Speaking to Joy News, access and affordability is what will influence Blessing's votes on Saturday.
For the free university for all level 100 students, most students have issues when it comes to accommodation and all of that. So I feel like that will also be a good idea.
A vote for a candidate which would better cater for students who are disabled is one on the lookout for.
I think Dr. Baumia's own is going to influence people because we need that people. If we didn't get that people, it's going to be like we have disowned them. What Dr. Baumia is bringing to is very fine.
Fantasia says, be voting based on political party affiliation, as that may not necessarily offer her heart desire.
You have the willingness and then you are ready to do what it takes to do what is necessary. Fine.
Despite campaign promises and assurances by the president, parties, the timbre of these students and many like them will be the decider of who wins. And in the coming days, we shall hopefully know which of these candidates will win their hearts. Victoria Osakwe's report.
The NPP presidential candidate, Dr. Mahamudu Bawumia, has made a clarion call to the electorate to allow him transform Ghana and build on what he says is the solid foundation laid by President Akufo-Addo. He spoke at the NPP's final rally on Thursday.
It's important to remind ourselves, because we are a problem-solving government, and Nana Akufo-Addo over the last 8 years has demonstrated this superbly. We have been solving problems. When we came into office and many people could not send their children to senior high school, we said free senior high school education for everybody. We have solved that problem. 5.7 million children are going. But what is even more important, when we came into office, there were more boys than girls in senior high school. For every 100 boys, we had 68 girls. Today, there are more girls than boys in senior high school.
And at the NDC's rally, presidential candidate John Mahama reiterated his commitment to bringing the positive change that Ghana needs. Mr. Mahama highlighted his vision for a better Ghana, promising to restore hope and dignity to citizens if given the mandate.
It's our moment, and the time is now to bring about the change we need in order to reset Ghana. And so let us vote on Saturday to reject despair and to choose hope. Let us vote to reject impunity and choose respect. Let us choose hardworking and trustworthy leadership. And I encourage all of you to vote for John Mahama. And I'll make you all proud of the Ghana that we are going to build together.
Well, Member of Parliament for Yendi, Farouk Ali Mahama, has supported persons with disability in his area with startup kits. The support that came in two ties was to help beneficiaries start and expand their businesses. Martina Bugiri reports.
The Member of Parliament for Yendi has, over the years since he assumed office, supported the vulnerable in his community with startup capital and kits, sponsorship, farm inputs, among others. It is in this vein that he supported the disability group and vulnerable people from 30 wards in his constituency. Delivering a speech, the Member of Parliament, Farouk Ali Mahama, said he would continue to support these people to help empower them economically.
Today's program is a program that is geared towards employing and giving the necessary startup caps to our disabled people, the deaf who are tailors, the deaf who are hairdressers, and the Hairdressers Association of Yemi are here today to take the benefits of the Member of Parliament's support to them, to enhance their delivery, to enhance their support to their trainees, and to make sure that the people under them would benefit from the machines. These machines are given to people who don't have the necessary support, and that is what we are trying to do, to make sure that they benefit in whatever they do today, tomorrow, and then hereafter, so that they will be well equipped in their daily lives and to be able to benefit the people of India. We are grateful for your time.
A beneficiary, Moro Amina, said the support would help enhance her work.
Alidu Amina. Alidu Amina Taylor. Alidu Amina. You put it now.
Well, it's election eve, and even better, it's a holiday, and some Ghanaians are traveling to their respective constituencies to vote. In Mboko, dozens of voters traveling back home to vote are currently stranded at the Upper East Regional Police Headquarters in Balgatanga. Rigorous security screening has to be done before they are escorted to the volatile town. Let's speak to Albert Sori for more on this. Albert, what's the situation like currently, and are they still stranded?
These voters are still stranded here at the regional police headquarters in Balgatanga because, first, they are not getting any vehicle with a driver willing to travel to Boko. Even those of them who are willing to take a chance are not comfortable with the rigorous security checks they have to come and go through at the premises of the regional police headquarters. What's happening is that if you have luggage in a bus or whatever vehicle you are traveling in and you are going, you have to come and wait here. The police will go through all the goods that you have to ensure that nobody is carrying any weapons or any foreign item they can use to foment trouble. And so, as we speak, there's even a cargo car which was carrying goods of some of these passengers, and they've had to ask them to bring down the goods here at the premises so they can go through the security checks. So for those passengers who cannot get a bus, even when they managed to get some drivers who were willing to take them, they were charging them double because first they have to go through a very long security protocol. And also because of the volatile nature of Boko, they are not even interested in going in the first place. So because of that, a lot of these voters, some of them women and children, are stranded. As I speak to you, the sun is very hot, and some of them have had to take shelter under trees or any shade they can find here in the premises of the regional police quarters, headquarters, as they wait to see what can be done for them. Some of their leaders are making calls to people they know in government or within the political parties to see if there is any support they can give them, well, so they can travel to Boko before they vote tomorrow.
Okay. Well, Albert, during the special voting, we recorded that it was quite calm and peaceful. But we also know why it's very obvious that these drivers are not willing to drive to Boko. Have you had some assurances from the security today, the securities today, that there's peace and calm in Boko and then there's nothing to worry about?
Exactly so. In fact, what they are doing is that anyone willing to make the trip to Boko can come to the police headquarters. There are patrols that are being provided. As I speak to you, I will be covering Boko tomorrow, and I was here trying to arrange security with the leadership of the police, because they asked us to come for that arrangement to be made. It was in the process that I found these stranded passengers here. So what we are asked to do is to come, you go through the process, and then they will escort you as a group. So that security measure has been taken. From what I learned, there are a lot of checkpoints on the Boko Road. There's high security in Boko as well. Mm. So the assurance is being given, but you get the sense that people still feel that they have to be cautious no matter the security measures in place.
Let's understand this escort and security measures. Is it that we have security personnel in a bus or a truck that's willing to travel to Boko, or there's escorts ahead of them? You've mentioned that there's security checkpoints, but do you have police personnel in the bus as well?
Yeah, so what they have done is that they have police patrol vehicles stationed here at the police headquarters. Since yesterday, they have been doing deployment to the various constituencies. Mm. And because of the special nature of Boko, they have to provide escorts. So when you come, there's an escort vehicle, as you would see in one of the videos currently showing. These vehicles are available with men in them. Okay. So they go through their own security protocols. And when they are ready and there is a bus loaded with passengers to move, then they escort them. I don't know whether the same men have to come back and then escort others again, or whether there are different groups of security people who are doing this. What we do know for sure is that the escorts are being provided. And in fact, the passengers who are stranded here have said that the police have done well for them. Okay. The only challenge they are facing is that they cannot get drivers or buses who are willing to travel to the place without charging them double of the fares.
All right. I will go to the preparedness of EC, but again on the cargo. So you're telling us that the trucks that were transporting some sort of cargo to Boko, what then happens to this?
Yeah, so as I was saying, if you see in my video currently, there's a very long truck behind me.
Okay.
This is a truck that is going to transport some passengers who have load. They have goods, including grains. A lot of them have some bags of onions, tomatoes, and so on and so forth. From what I learned, because of the nature of Boko now, traders don't tend to come out to sell goods. And so if you need food, you have to go to another place to buy it and come and stock it in your home so you can use it for as long as possible.
Okay.
Because the markets in Boko are almost not functioning as they used to. So these passengers have got their goods, and they were traveling with it back to Boko, but they have had to bring it down from the truck so that the security personnel can go through to ensure that nobody is carrying anything they are not supposed to carry into the town. And that is what that is the situation we have. But this cargo truck cannot carry everyone. Only some group of people have hired it. And so those who are not part of the group going in this one have to find their own means. And that is one of the challenges that currently exists.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, let's talk about the EC and as to whether they are prepared to really serve Boko come tomorrow for the elections. How prepared is EC?
Well, the Electoral Commission received the ballot papers about 2 weeks ago. That has been done. From what we learned, they are very set. We have not heard of any challenge whatsoever, less than 24 hours to the election. Mm. And so from what I have gathered, there is no problem at all from the Electoral Commission's end. Everything should be smooth, barring any unforeseen circumstances tomorrow. But until the process itself starts, you cannot say for sure that that everything is 100%.
Okay.
But as we speak at the moment, there haven't been any challenges that have been communicated whatsoever.
Okay. Albert, I'm going to let you go, but finally, you can confirm that a curfew is still ongoing.
Yes, yeah, so it's one of the things I'm going to check before I depart to Boko.
Okay.
I was supposed to meet the special operations officer just before I had to come and do this report. I haven't confirmed that yet. The curfew, what we need to check is what is going to happen tomorrow, which will be the election day, because we also understand that the collation center is going to be in Boko. So if there is going to be the curfew, many are asking whether people are allowed to leave their homes and come to the collation center and to observe the counting process and all of that. But these are things that I will have to confirm from the police for our subsequent bulletins when I come for an update.
Right, thank you so much, Albert, from reporting from the Upper East Region and bringing us updates in Boko. But we'll bring you that details later in our special Election Eve coverage here at 7 p.m. here on Joy News. But let's go to the Western Region, and the Tech Friday GPRTU bus terminal was chaotic as thousands of passengers rushed to secure vehicles to their various hometowns ahead of tomorrow's elections. By dawn, the terminal was already full with travelers from all walks of life, jostling for space and a chance to make their journey home to cast their ballot. So let's talk to Portia Kuju. Portia, I hope that the situation is quite calm now. If not, please bring us a report. Hi, Portia. All right. I'll try and reconnect to Portia at some point and get to know whether it is less chaotic. But let's go to Martina, who is going to be joining us from Tamale to report to us whether persons or travelers are commuting to Tamale to also cast their votes. Martina, what's the situation? Hi, Martina. If you can hear me, kindly unmute yourself.
Yes. So in Tamale, it's just like you are seeing in the Western region. And we have bus terminals that are filled up with people who are arriving and those who are departing from the various bus terminals to their destination. But one area that has been designated for pick in and bring in is the Jubilee Park, where MPs and individuals have organized vehicles which are coming in to pick people and then offload people to the various constituencies to vote. Now, I was earlier on at the EC office where he said deployment was almost done, so I moved to the police headquarters where the final badge of ballot papers and materials have been moved to the Tamale Central constituency. So as we speak now, deployment is over in the northern region for electoral materials and all is set for the elections tomorrow.
Well, so Martina, is it that people were struggling to catch the free bus that has been arranged by members of parliament, or generally there aren't buses available for them to commute
to?
Yes,
so at the bus terminals, we have limited vehicles because most of the vehicles have been hired to move people to their various constituencies. So people are taking advantage of the free buses that have been organized. Okay. And that one is a bit of a struggle because when the bus arrives, people are in a hurry to join. So we have had some few struggles, but largely they are being able to transport them to the various constituencies.
Okay, but there's rather some level of calm now.
Yes, everything is calm now.
All right, thank you, Martina. Let's go back to the Western region. Portia Kujo was bringing us updates from Takoradi. Hi, Portia, what's the situation in Takoradi? Portia, if you can hear me, kindly unmute.
Okay.
So currently at the Takrade Kumasi Terminal and also Takrade Accra Terminal, passengers are in frantic rush to board vehicle to their various constituency ahead of tomorrow's election. So according to some of the passengers, when I spoke to them, they arrived at the terminal at around 4:30, 4 o'clock a.m. and also 5:30 a.m. But it seems that getting vehicles to their constituencies has become a challenge for them. So currently, as I'm speaking, the terminals are crowded and they are there waiting for vehicles to come. I spoke to the when I spoke to the station masters, according to them, the political parties have rented some of the buses. That is why it has resulted in shortage of buses at the terminal. So they're also hoping that they will get extra buses from some of their sister stations so that they can bring it to their terminals.
Oh, Portia, I hope that the network...
passengers will board to their various constituencies. So currently, currently at the terminal, that is the situation at the terminal now, please.
But does it look like there's going to be calm ever? Because if these buses have been hired or rented by political parties, then there's obviously limited buses for passengers to travel to go and vote. Does it look like the station masters are assuring that there are going to be buses available for these passengers?
Okay. Looking at the scene, even when they will get the bus for the passengers, maybe it will be late in the night because, according to them, they're also finding it difficult. They've made contact to majority of their sister branches or sister stations, of which they are also making the same complaint. Mm. So they are all trying, they are hoping that...
Right, I must have lost Portia, but still on elections, the New Patriotic Party in the Ashanti region says it is poised to upset the National Democratic Congress in Saturday's elections. Also, the opposition National Democratic Congress, NDC, in the Ashanti region has asked its party agents to be vigilant and cautious when dealing with the electoral commission's recruited presiding officers allegedly affiliated with the ruling New Patriotic Party during the upcoming elections on Saturday. Let's get more from Nana Bwache. Nana Bwache, please give us clarity on the situation in the Ashanti region.
Well, MFA, it was a day of press conferences for both the NDC and the NPP in the Ashanti region as they prepare for the elections on Saturday. Well, the first press conference we had to pay attention to was that of the NDC. It started earlier on.
Nana, if you could please speak up so I can hear you.
So I was saying that the first press conference that we attended yesterday was that of the NDC, where they cautioned their party agents to be wary of presiding officers who are affiliated to the Democratic Party. That's the allegation that they have taken forward. For the NDC, it is time for their agents to look after the election carefully, because this time around, they will not want any attempt to rig the election unsuccessfully. And so they want their agents to have their eyes on ground so as to prevent the NDC or the NDC from rigging the election, the allegation that they made yesterday. And also, they said that they are also going to stop any form of or any attempt to rig the election by the NDC. And within them, they are going to measures to make sure that this election is free and fair, and that the former president John Dramani Mahama is elected president. We also paid attention to the New Patriotic Party and their press conference yesterday, and for them to describe it as being set to accept the NDC.
Well, Nana, I unfortunately today of all days I'm unable to hear you clearly. But maybe at some point later at a special coverage, we'll connect and then you bring us that story. But the Eminent Persons group of the Christian Council of Ghana wants Ghanaians to prioritize peace, tolerance and transparency throughout the electoral process. It's asking the presidential and parliamentary candidates to accept the results to deepen Ghana's democracy. Co-chairperson, Most Reverend Dr. Paul K. Bwafo, has charged the political parties to ensure that the peace pact design reflect in their behavior and extend it to the public.
The political parties and their leaders, we thank God for their lives. And we thank God that even in them, we see that we have people who are ready to serve and to serve Ghanaians. We thank them for the campaigns that they have done. We see that there is a minimal attacks on personalities this year round, and we say it's a good thing. But coming out of this, let us see it reflect in the voting and the coalition and the declaration. Whoever is declared as the winner, we should all rally behind and support so that we can move on. In a democratic way, voting, we know whom the people of Ghana have decided on to lead us, and it should be peaceful so that we can continue to live in peace for generations even yet unborn. So we believe that where we have called on our people in the mosque, in the churches, our members will go out there with that spirit. And as Christian, I can say that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children.
The elections, the first international airport has received its first set of passengers from the Gatwick Airport in London. The Ethiopian Airlines flight touched down at 10:30 a.m. Some traditional authorities in the Kumasi metropolis were at the airport to receive the passengers amid drumming and dancing. Board chairman of the Ghana Airport Company Limited, Paul Adomotri, spoke of the potential of commercial flights to the airport.
Nananom ye baha eye asedani nyame adom ne beka se ne de etimi operationalize Kumasi International Airport ewiem hyen etu afi Brochiman mu English man mu London amfa Accra amfa Nigeria amfa Babia besi o Kumasi Airport ha ene sisi aye hu the passengers aba ye managing director Raba Yvonne Opare ene ye board member ba Mrs. Philomena Sam no multiply nim bi awmo abedu the passengers aba and opay ye waha ye train plane ne hu say Ethiopia Airlines e de omo crew say emra hyehye ne kyerese omo de we hyem ne ba for 6 hours a so omo de ba ye no omo ntimi san fanko so obi foforo ne de ko nti omo omo de be ko no ye wa no opay no mo ba ye now ye twa mo video a fine nti crew no mo de plane ne be ko no kra arrive ya san plane ne ba na plane no so omo man ho number na say the way we are say ye ne de bibia to me check your phone so tie de ma journalist no munyina wa hombe di advance ye munyina track plane no plane no tu ye hu ye edu France ye hu ye edu Arab men mu ye hu ye edu Mali Burkina Faso ye hu ye across Tamale danyame ase ye hu ye na abedu kumase nti na no me ba ya asempa na mase.
Well, joint news investigations have uncovered what appears to be the final scramble for the country's forest reserves with few days to the presidential and parliamentary elections. Heavily armed thugs have invaded reserves with heavy earth-moving equipment as overpowered personnel of the Forestry Commission looked on helplessly. The illegal gold mining operations have wreaked havoc on several hectares of the once evergreen Jemera Tano Ofin Belt at Senyo and the Apampramano Forest Reserves. Ohiming Teria of the Our Security Desk observed the involvement of some security operatives in this last wanton destruction.
69% of Ghana's forest reserves. Forest reserves, home to several water bodies, have become targets for illegal miners who mine in river beds with impunity. Not even the deployment of police military teams could help put a halt to illegal mining operations in forest reserves and river bodies. As political campaigning activities heat up on the streets, so do illegal mining activities boom in the forest reserves.
The Nkawie Forest District has experienced an upsurge in illegal mining in the past 1 month. In fact, the problem used to be there, but the rate that it has exacerbated within the last 1 month is quite alarming. We have four forest reserves in the district, and almost all the four forest reserves are under attack.
Joy News investigations have uncovered illegal mining operations have more than quadrupled in forest reserves in the last 2 months as the illegal miners plunder the country's natural resources. Jemera Tano Ofin Bed Aseneyo and Apamprama Forest Reserves are attracting more excavators as armed attacks ravage forest reserves.
It looks as if our future is bleak in terms of managing the resources. Very overwhelmed. And if we're in charge of a forest reserve, and we have so many attacks there, mountain barriers or barriers, and you cannot access your forest reserve to do your day-to-day activities, then it's very serious.
This is the official target. The Wang's Evergreen Reserve is a pale shadow of itself as excavators continue to ravage the forest. At Anyafutu in the Achumamponua district of the Ashanti region, armed attacks with strong political connections have mounted roadblocks to prevent Forestry Commission staff from accessing the forest. The team was prevented from advancing further beyond the River Betina. Nkaria District Forestry Manager had an encounter with the thugs.
The modus operandi of the illegal miners is to position thugs at the entry points either to the forest reserve or to the compartment, making it inaccessible. In fact, when you look at the situation, it has gone beyond the normal forestry staff going to the field sometimes to immobilize or cause an arrest. This time round, you dare not do such things. In fact, before you even enter the reserve, you are going to meet barricades, which are manned by armed men. And the best way or the instances where they are allow you to enter, you go under escort. They will not give you that liberty to inspect or even conduct any operation because they will monitor you with these guns following you here and there.
But with the help of a drone, the team managed to take live pictures of the destruction caused to the forest after assessing alternative routes after several days of surveillance.
Because we were prevented by the security operatives at the Anyafutu entrance of the forest, we were compelled to use this alternative route by crossing the Ofin stream using this small canoe.
The team also discovered the illegal miners were using a fake entry permit with a forged signature of the CEO of the Forestry Commission, John Aloti. At least 36 excavators and a dozer were spotted at the site. Several hectares of virgin forest have been planted. Assembly member of Anyafutu electoral area, Ketri Opoku, tells Joy News he was misled to believe the miners were using excavators to plant trees.
Watching Joy News today on Election Eve. We go for a quick break. When we come back, we'll transact some business. Please stay.
Welcome back to Business Live. On Joy News today, my name is Winston Taki, and our first business story. The Forestry Commission says over 800 illegal miners have been arrested since 2023 through the Joint Security Task Force to clamp down on the menace that is wreaking havoc in the country's forest reserves and water bodies. Chief Executive Officer of the Commission, John Aloti, is reiterating the government's commitment to fighting illegal mining activities, claiming the renewed clampdown was reduced the illegal mining activities in some areas. But the Ghana Institute of Foresters is distraughting over the government's neglect of the contribution to totally eradicating the activities of the illegal miners. Emmanuel Bright Kweku has attended the annual general meeting of the Institute and brought in this report.
Across several
reserves in Ghana. Illegal mining pits are dotted on large hectares of land. Over 2.5 million hectares of forest cover have been lost and water bodies destroyed. The government renewed its efforts to clamp down on the illegal mining activities along the country's riverbanks and forest reserves through a military task force involving officers of the Forestry Commission. Speaking at the 29th Annual General Meeting of the Ghana Institute of Foresters, Chief Executive of the Forestry Commission, John Aluti, explained over 800 illegal miners have been apprehended since 2023.
Since 2023, the Forest Services Division, with the support of the Rapid Response Team, have been able to step up law enforcement and arrest over 800 illegal miners, demolish numerous illegal structures constructed within forest reserves by the illegal miners, immobilize excavators, and seize and confiscate through the courts some vehicles that were found in the forest reserves.
The general meeting brought together stakeholders in the forestry industry, including the academia and researchers, to deliberate on its theme, Mining in Forest Reserves in Ghana, New Developments and the Way Forward. There are several calls for a halt on all the mining activities to save the country's environment. Mr. Aluti explained some of the possible ways to adopt to fight the menace.
I see two main options going forward. One is a complete ban on all forms of mining in forest reserves. The second is a banning of all alluvial mining within forest reserves, but permitting limited hard rock mining in exceptional cases where the socio-economic benefits are significantly huge. To me, the second option appears to be more realistic and pragmatic. It is an option that recognizes the socioeconomic importance of responsible mining while ensuring good environmental stewardship for the benefit of the people of Ghana.
Meanwhile, the Ghana Institute of Foresters wants a collaborative approach and more negotiations with the various stakeholders to contain the devastation. Dr. Abukari Atta Nantongma is the president of the Ghana Institute of Foresters.
Who polices the policeman? Look at the destruction that is done. People go, they are given permits to go and mine. After mining, who cares about reclaiming the land? Nobody. But if there are structures, and GIF is part of it, we have students who are not working, unemployed. We can get them that, look, every small-scale miner should have at least 3 forest managers, one probably from reclamation, one for forest management, and they will man the areas that they have allocated to them for mining.
For Joy News, my name is Emmanuel Bright-Kweku.
Seeds are crucial in agricultural production, helping fight climate change and ensuring food security. But in Ghana, illegal mining and land destruction are harming seed conservation efforts, according to the National Tree Seed Center. Here's more in this report.
Principal Research Scientist with the Forestry Research Institute of Ghana, Dr. Joseph Meku Asumanun, emphasized the importance of conserving seed at a workshop organized by the Millennium Seed Bank and the National Tree Seed Center. Directors from several African countries attended a training in Kumasi to learn skills and knowledge needed for effective seed conservation for future generations. Dr. Asumanun emphasized the urgent need to address the rapid pace of environmental degradation and illegal mining activities, noting that these issues are impacting seed species. He encouraged collaborative efforts to develop strategies aimed at preserving these vital resources. Dr. Meku highlighted the urgent need to address the challenges posed by the depletion of forest resources, which are home to a diversity of species.
The need for us to conserve our seeds, taking the seeds from their natural habitat and storing them in seed banks so that we don't lose them. You know, seeds are foundations for agriculture. They are needed to combat for planting activities to combat climate change, and they are very important for food security. food security. So due to the fast rate of environmental destruction, we are losing most of our sea species, and there is a need to work around this situation, take them from where they are, test them, and put them under coastal, so that when there is a need for us to do replanting, or because of calamity, we have destroyed a lot of land, and eventually we have to replant, and without seas, we cannot replant.
Dr. Asumanu is advocating for the government to enhance the National Tree Seed Center, which would help to conserve a greater number of seeds for restoration efforts and promote biodiversity conservation.
Most of them are in Ghana now. They need a lot of seeds to plant more. And if government also come to our aid, so that we can even expand our cold room. Our cold rooms are very small.
That's all for business. For more updates, visit majoronline.com/business. My name is Winston Taki. Over to you, MFO.
Thank you so much, Winston Taki. That'll be all for today on Joy News Today with me, MFR Akosi Adeti. There's so much more news on myjoyonline.com. But please do not miss out on today's special coverage, Election Eve at 7 p.m. with MFR Apowo, Winston, Raymond, Evans, and myself today, right here on the channel. But please do log on to myjoyonline.com, and then you'll find so many more stories. Today, the biggest story you'll find will be that Ghana recorded a trade surplus of 3.9 billion in the third quarter of 2024. There's so many other stories you can read. Thank you for watching.